So the next presentation will be presented by Dr. Dennis Whitfield. The title of the presentation is Engineered Biosynthetic Pathway for Sialic Acid Analogs and its use for the development of anti-infectives. Dr. Whitfield.
Thank you very much for coming this morning. From my title here, there's two things I want you to remember about biosynthetic pathways, and I'm going to talk about sialic acid. There's three people majorly involved in this project. That's the people here, Dr. Susan Logan, Ian Schoenhoffen, and myself. And we range from microbiology to biochemistry to chemistry. Now, what I'm going to talk today about is something I'm sure everyone's probably heard about because it's been in the news for the last week or two. And that's about influenza virus and the relationship with sialic acid. Now, of course, there's lots of cases. There's lots of people that are actually dying from this, and there's problems with different strains. Now, for our talk here, all you need to know is that on an influenza virus, there's two major proteins on the surface. One's the H, that's the hemagglutinin, and one's the N, the neuraminidase. The typing is that you'll see the numbers here, like there's 16 versions of hemagglutinin and I believe 9 versions of neuraminidase. And the key player in all of this is sialic acid, which is a 9-carbon sugar. It binds to both H and N, and I'm going to talk mostly about inhibitors for neuraminidase. Now, based upon sialic acid, we're going to talk about analogs of sialic acid that can be used as inhibitors for these enzymes. Sialic acid, as I said, is this 9-carbon sugar. Our analogs are the same stereochemistry as sialic acid, but they have slightly different substituents, and we'll see there's some more variants here. And as I said, they bind to the neuraminidase. And we're hoping that by having different derivatives that we can also overcome this problem of different strains because we'll have different derivatives. And that our intention is to use a cocktail of these analogs. And there's also other organisms also use sialic acid as a binding component, and there's possibilities that in this there may be some efficacy in other diseases too. Now, of course, these numbers were made up a couple of weeks ago. They're probably wrong now, but the estimate. Because we've seen the sales of Tamiflu, of course, there's two major drugs in the market, and Tamiflu is the one that's making the most sales, and that's the estimated amount right now, and that's just a reasonable sum. And of course, the vaccine market is quite large for influenza as well. Now, as I said, there's quite a few cases in the world, and this is what the World Health Organization says, that influenza is a very major economic burden. A very large proportion of the population are infected, and obviously the thought of a pandemic influenza, the more possible therapies we have, the better off we'll probably be. Now, this is the key of it. This is the biosynthetic pathway. This is what we really work on. Now, you don't need to understand all of this, but there's three things that a biosynthetic pathway gives you. It gives you genes, it gives you proteins, and it gives you the possibility of making compounds. So we can start with these. We can start with very readily available fructose 6-phosphate, and we get to this sialic acid analog. Okay, the next step. What we have is we have IP on the enzymes involved in making all these key steps in the synthesis. We also have all the compounds. And that's basically the key of the technology. And this leads us to get a way of producing sialic acid analogs. Now, I don't know if people are aware, but the current influenza drugs in the market, the chemistry to make them is quite difficult. This is all using enzyme. This is all using enzymes, so there's actually no chemistry involved in here, no traditional chemistry involved in here. So this gives us a way to get them by biotechnology. Now, on the next slide, go a little bit farther. Where the arrow is here, that's what the enzyme neuraminidase breaks. It breaks the bond with sialic acid. So what you need is an inhibitor of that enzyme. It's based upon, this is a natural compound that's known to be an inhibitor. Though this is Relenza, one of the other drug besides Tamiflu. It's based upon from rational drug design from here to here to here. This is, let's see if I get this right. Our compounds are very similar to these. And what you can see, we have all these different R groups. These are natural. So we can make all these R groups on by using enzymes, not by doing chemistry. But there's also possibilities with some of these. There's an amines and things here, so the medicinal chemists could we haven't done this, but could conceivably also make further derivatives by using chemistry as well. And not just, we have two different, that's all the derivatives. We have all these ones we've identified, and there's several more that are possible. And I showed one on the previous slide, the pathway. We also have another sialic acid analog. It's got slightly different stereochemistry. We also have the enzymes and the pathway to that compound as well. Okay. So this is what we see as our advantages, that we have this family of sialic acid analogs. They're sugars, so we don't anticipate much toxicity. They're small molecules. Based upon the known things, we expect them to be potent. With our pathway, we expect that we should be able to make them fairly easily, and because we have enzymes, we can make many, many different derivatives. And we're hoping that this limits resistance. Now, we're actually talking about binding to the active site. Without the neuraminidase, the virus can't live. So if it mutates to bind away from the active site, then that's fine. That's because that's not a viable organism anymore. Okay, and this is what we have. This is the patent on the biosynthetic process, and this is a provisional we just filed very recently on the compounds. And what we need to work on then is to there's much more work to do in optimization, but we have the compounds, that's our main thing, and then we have many things we need to determine. We need to do many tests of these compounds to see what they can do and what they can't do. And so we're hoping to do in vitro in the next year, and then move on to in vivo, and then move on to more ambitious things if that works out. So that's basically where we're at. We have compounds, and we have ways to make them. We have ways to make derivatives, so they're ready for testing. And we are ready, open to many possibilities to find ways to test these. And I think if the last slide just shows the business people at our institute. Thank you.